Hare Krishna. So, continuing on from yesterday's Mahabharata recital of Rupari Swayambara, and keeping in mind that today is Radhakund Prakat, the appearance day of Shri Shri Radhakund and Shyamakund, as well as Bahulashtami, when Krishna saved the cow Bahula and her calf and keeper from perishing at the hunger of a tiger. I'm going to the temple this evening for a Sunday program and Singham Darasakam, and there I'll retell the pastime, so I won't mention it here, but I'll continue with the story of Drupadi and Arjuna. So as mentioned earlier, Maharaj Drupada decided to have a Swayambara for his daughter, fireborn, Yagyasena, a daughter born from the fire sacrifice. In the meantime, the Pandavas had been living incognito. They disappeared. Why? Because after Drona had finished their training and they had defeated Maharaj Drupada, Yudhisthira Maharaj was then selected by Dhritarashtra as the Yuvaraj, as the incumbent king, which really infuriated Duryodhana. And so Duryodhana plotted that somehow or another we have to dispose of these Pandavas. And so he, although Karna, it should be known, was always against Duryodhana's plotting, not that he was in favor of the Pandavas, but because he thought that to do this type of dishonest cheating is not befitting a real Kshatriya, that they should just simply face them in face-to-face battle and defeat them like that and take the kingdom away from them like that. But in any case, Duryodhana prevailed and prevailed. And they dreamt up that in Varnavata, a distant town, that they would construct a building of very flammable material. And in that palace, the Pandavas would be requested to take a holiday, having just been crowned Yuvaraj, Yudhisthira, and that they should enjoy themselves there. And one night when they're sleeping, then the whole building should be burnt to the ground, and in that way the Pandavas would perish. And Duryodhana was able to prevail on Dhritarashtra to send away the Pandavas on the so-called vacation. And always obedient to their seniors, the Pandavas did so, although after Duryodhana had already tried to kill Bhima, poison Bhima, they suspected that there was some foul play. And Vidura, Dhritarashtra's brother, he was very favorable to the Pandavas, he revealed to Yudhisthira Maharaj what the plot was. And he also arranged for a miner to come there and to construct a tunnel. So the Pandavas went to Varnavata and the miner began to dig the tunnel. And when the tunnel was finished, then Mahabharata says that it was the Pandavas who actually lit the fire. And the person who was supposed to light the fire, Bhim, killed him. And as fate would have it, that same day, a Javana woman and her five sons took shelter in the courtyard of the palace. And so when the Pandavas went through the tunnel and went out to safety and disappeared, then these other six persons, woman and five sons, were also burnt in the fire. So for all intents and purposes, once the fire abated, it appeared that the Pandavas had indeed perished in the fire. And a funeral ceremony was held for them, and Dhritarashtra made much ado of crying after his lost nephews, when indeed he was happy that they were out of the way and Duryodhan could become the king. Yudhishthira Maharaj, in the meantime, thought it wise that they should remain unknown, and that the idea that they had indeed perished in the fire should remain intact. And so they hid in the jungles and traveled through the forests, and along the way Bhim killed Rakshasa Hidimba and married his sister Hidimbi, and by her begot Gotakach, would play an important role later in the battle of Kurukshetra. And for some time the Pandavas also stayed in what appears to be some semi-celestial or celestial region, and they stayed there for some months until word reached them of Draupadi's Swayambara. And when they heard of Draupadi's beauty, all of the Pandavas, they were very attracted. Seeing this, Kunti suggested, why don't you go to the Swayambara? So the Pandavas made their way towards Kampilya, which was the capital of Maharaj Drupada. And on the way, they met Tomya, a Brahmin, and accepted him as their guru, their spiritual master. And dressed in deer skins, they disguised themselves as brahmanas and went towards the Swayambara ceremony. Now, the Swayambara festival was a 15, 16-day long festival. For 50 days, there was all types of entertainment and feasting for all the kings of the world. And the Pandavas arrived, and in a nearby forest, they set up camp where Kunti Devi was left, and then they went to participate in the festival. And on the 16th day, there was the actual wedding took place, was supposed to take place. And at that time, Dhrishtadyumna announced what the conditions of qualifying for Draupadi's hand were. And all the kings were all seated, and everyone was very excited. And Draupadi came out, and everyone was smitten by her beauty. And she was carrying the garland that she would offer to the person that she accepted as her husband. But first, there was hanging from the ceiling a fish. And beneath the fish was rotating not a wheel, but actually a disc through which there was one hole. And on the ground below that disc was a golden dish of water. And the idea was that there was a bowl, and not an ordinary bowl, but as we'll see, a very powerful bowl that one had to string, and then looking at the reflection in the water, shoot a arrow through the hole just as it came around in front of the eye of the fish. And that would qualify one for accepting Draupadi's hand. So all of the kings were very, very excited, and there was a lot of making of noises and talking, but one after another they came, and they couldn't even string the bow. Many of them tried, and they were just thrown down on the ground, and then in humiliation they sat down. And this went on for quite some time. Finally, Duryodhan came, and he was able to string the bow, and he took aim in the dish of water, and shot, and he was able to pierce the hole, but he wasn't able to hit the eye of the fish. So he was very frustrated, and he had to go down and sit down, and was very humiliated. And then Karna came. But when Karna was on his way towards the bow, then Draupadi stepped forward and said that no, she was not willing to be given to someone who was not of royal birth. And we know that Karna, although he was actually of royal birth, but everyone thought that he was the son of Adirath, a chariot driver. So humiliated, he had to sit down. And then there was no one else. And just moving against that forward, is there no one who can come and win the hand of my sister? And hearing this, then Yudhisthira Maharaj prompted Arjuna, now you go. And then Arjuna did step forward. And everyone was surprised. Here's a Brahmin. A Brahmin's coming to reclaim the princess. But since Brahmins also had a right, and there was no stipulation that they couldn't, so Arjuna in disguise and unrecognized by anyone came up, and he offered his respects to the king, and then he offered prayers to the bow and easily picked up the bow and then strung it and took very careful aim. And of course, we all know that he aimed, and with a golden shaft, he pierced not only the disc, but also the eye of the fish. And everyone was amazed how this Brahmin is such so powerful and is such a wonderful archer. Without any hesitation, Arjuna stepped forward towards Draupadi. Krishna and Balaram were also there. Krishna and Balaram were by her side. And Krishna had already earlier noticed the Pandavas in the audience, and he pointed out to Balaram, look at those Brahmins. They look as if the Pandavas would look if they were dressed in Brahmin skins, deer skin. And Lord Balaram agreed. And now when they saw this Brahmin's feet, then Krishna told Balaram, this must be Arjuna. Only Arjuna could perform such an extraordinary feat of archery. But they said nothing, and Draupadi, she didn't recognize, she didn't know that this was Arjuna. She saw a Brahmin. A Brahmin had come forward, so she accepted him. He was very handsome and obviously very powerful and knowledgeable in military warfare as well, and placed the garland around Arjuna's neck, and then followed Arjuna out, and the Pandavas, they also, the others rose and went to leave. This time the kings became quite agitated, and Duryodhan stood up and started to accuse Drupada of trying to humiliate all the kings by having a Brahmin win the hand of the princess. And everyone started to rise up against Drupada, who sank back in fear. And when Yudhisthira Maharaj saw this as they were leaving, then he sent Arjuna and Bhima back. Arjuna was still holding the sacrificial bow. A fight emerged between Arjuna and Karna, in which Arjuna defeated Karna. And meanwhile, Bhima was fighting with Shalya, and he defeated him. And that sort of scared off the kings. Krishna stepped forward and he said, let's not end this festival with bloodshed. The princess has been rightfully won. The purpose of Maharaj Drupad was not to humiliate others. This is the arrangement of fate. So the kings should just accept that. And they did. And in that way, the Pandavas left with Draupadi. And of course, there's so much more to the story. It continues on. But this is as much as we're telling, because this is the end of the Swayamvara. Hare Krishna.